Smashville Live is live for the final show of the season. Here at Brewhouse 100 in Bellevue. Sorry, we're a little loud for Hal Gill.
My goodness, you're loud. You're loud anyway.
If it's loud for Hal, it must be really loud.
For a little fella, you're loud.
Hey, pack a punch around here. Final show of the year. Predators are in the playoffs, everybody. My name is Max Erz, up here with three guys who have their name on the Stanley Cup. Hal Gill, everyone, first and foremost. Let's clap it up. And Preds defensemen Luke Shen and Ryan McDonough. Guys, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Last night, such a fun comeback, and it's weird to clinch in a loss and so much going on in that game. What was it like to fight back to get in that game, have the crowd cheering as we got to the end of the third period there, Luke?
Yeah, I mean, it was incredible. Obviously, we felt like we played pretty good. Heading into the third period, we had a lot of shots thrown their way, and their goalie was playing unbelievable, but kind of stuck with it and able to get one. First of all, McCarron had a great fight to kind of get the crowd.
That was awesome.
That was awesome.
Oh, that was unreal.
That was great. He kind of got the boys going as well and got that goal there. And then we tied it up. And I mean, the crowd was insane last night. How loud it was and the TV timeouts. They weren't even doing anything up on the big screen or getting any in-game entertainment going. They're just kind of letting the crowd take it away. So it was pretty awesome. And we could feel that as players. And for a tie game. In the third period there, I think at one point Ryan O'Reilly was diving head first to block a shot.
I saw that.
Yeah, I was like, just to clinch that one point there and just to kind of get in. So, yeah, it was a great atmosphere last night, and we're proud of the group. It's been, a grind of a year, and I don't think a lot of people gave us a chance from the start, from the outside. So we're happy to get in, and it's the first step.
I want to get into the season, but before we do that, I want to kind of get into the mentality, because I'm sitting there going, these guys, hey, you have a bad period, you're down 3-1. It's like, okay, we can get points against these other guys. We can go to Chicago, get a point there. So let's not worry about it. But you guys feel like you took it personally. Like, hey, this is the night we're going to get a point. Did you guys have that mentality or, leading up to it? Or was that something that you talked about or just did it just happen?
I think you'd look at the opportunity to possibly do it in front of your home fans. That would mean a lot. Sure, we had another home game on the schedule, but when you're in the moment there and leading up to the game day, you're thinking of the opportunity and trying to seize it. And I think over the course of this month or so, we've kind of found this identity of being a tough team in the third period, that being one of our best periods of the game.
Yeah.
And something that our group looks forward to is that third period, whether we're up or down. And so, we were happy to be down there, but we never lost confidence, and we had a lot of belief in that room that we could find a way. And like you said, guys are diving head first. They're showing each other. We're all showing each other that we want to get this done tonight. So it was, like Luke said, a great feeling. And to do that in front of the home crowd, like you said, it was awesome. They've been unbelievable since the start of the year, and especially the second half of the year after the All-Star break. I mean, all the standing ovations that we've gotten during TV timeouts, that doesn't go unnoticed. So it was a lot of energy there, and we fed off that for sure.
What turned that around? I feel like, first of all, is that five-game road trip, the U2 thing.
Yeah,
is,
yeah.
Sorry, I don't want to bring it up. I know you guys got screwed out of a concert. but like after that, you guys set the road mentality, and then you brought the road mentality home. Like how big was that transition where you're like, hey, we're going to be awesome at home?
Yeah, I mean, we obviously weren't good enough at home for a long period of time, and you need to grab points like that. But I think, internally, we got a really good group of guys and some veteran players who have been around a little bit, and we've kind of talked amongst the group. Sometimes you don't even need, obviously the coach's message is great, but I think, like you can attest to, when you're in good teams and winning teams, the players kind of take control within the room. So we kind of talked internally a little bit of what, we expect of ourselves and what we kind of – envision our stretch being like. And like I said, there's times of the year where we weren't sitting pretty, in the points column, wins loss column, but just kind of kept believing in the group and try to continue to get everyone to buy in and play play as a team. I think that's the strength of our team is, you know, we got obviously some talented players and some really good, you know, experienced guys and, you know, some young guys. But all in all, I think, you know, when we play collectively as a group, that's when we're at our best, and just full buy-in top to bottom of the roster right now. And, yeah, that's what good teams do.
Yeah, I think what Luke's talking about is the meeting after the meeting, right? The coaches come in, and for those who don't know, the coaches come in and they lay out a game plan. They give you everything you're going to do for the game. And then as soon as the coaches leave, all the players are like, okay, this is what we're going to do. We're like, this is how we're going to do it. And the mentality and all that. Is that what you're kind of getting at?
Yeah, just having that urgency. I think, you know, you're coming off All-Star break or bye week. You've got 35, 40 games left, but things happen fast and you've got to get points fast. And we were on the outside looking in, obviously, at that point. And so that was kind of our make or break moment. And you could say some teams wait until around the deadline to see, you know, make or break, but we needed to get points and get going in a hurry. And we needed to show some urgency right away to the group, and the whole coaching staff kind of caught wind of that, and the players were trying to send a message that we need help from everybody, coaching staff, trainers, medical staff, like that we need everybody dialed in here in order for us to gain points and be successful. And so it was kind of a early wake-up call and much needed, I guess.
Yeah, I'm looking at – sorry, Max, I'll let you talk in a second. But –
Max, you just keep drinking your beer. You're great.
Having a great time.
So you're having a good
fly
time.
On the wall.
Well, because I wanted you talked about it. You have the depth of a team with young guys, grinders, the stars. I mean, you're kind of pulling from everywhere. How do you bring that? Like, what does it feel like to have four lines that are rolling over? You have a deep defense right now. I never thought. Did you guys see that in the beginning of the season?
I mean, I came here, to be honest, not knowing a lot of the young players or some of the veteran guys of, you know, how effective they
just,
could be.
Just Luke Evangelista had a Luke
jersey. Which I didn't know that.
When he was growing up.
Yeah, that's exactly. That's one of those things I said, you never want to meet your childhood idol. It's one of those things that never works out.
Well, Hal was mine. That's the worst part.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Poor guy.
But no, at the start of the year, I mean, like I said, we got off to a bit of a tough start. But and I know, you know, I don't think a lot of people from the outside, you know, you look at projections or rankings, and I don't think we're in anyone's list to maybe get in. And, you know, but I thought, you know, we had a meeting at the start of the year, you know, like I said, with the players. But you look at a core group of guys, you look at, you know, Yossi and Forsberg and Saros and Ham O'Reilly, some guys who, you know, are in their prime of their careers, and you got some young players that are, you know, they're trying to see what they got and groomed, or, you know, try to, you know,
trying to figure it out.
But at the same time, it's like, why would you just burn a year because you're not supposed to be good or supposed to be in the playoffs? Where I think as players kind of, you know, took that where we're in the business of, you know, trying to win, and, you know, we're playing in the now for the future, which, you know, that's people outside of our pay grade to, you know, keep an eye on the future. We're in the now right now, and I think guys did a good job pulling together, and like I said, trying to do whatever we can to grind to get in the playoffs, and luckily it worked out. But like I said, this is the first step, and a few more to go, and then the down starts for real.
How fun is it? Beginning of season, you know, we have all the meet and greets, and you're trying to meet everyone, and you guys were saying, like, you're going into training camp, like, it was almost like all your buddies are there, right? You guys play together. Yeah. You know O'Reilly, you knew Tyson Berry. All these guys are coming together. How fun is it to do that with this group of guys to kind of defy the odds and just be like, yeah, look at us now. You know, we're here.
Sure.
We're having fun doing it.
The veteran group's a great group of guys, you know, some of the best you'll find around the league. And the young guys, too, have been unbelievable, like just fitting in perfectly and, you know, not being selfish, not, you know, trying to do things on their own page, which, you know, can happen along the lines at certain points in guys' career. But you know, the coaches have been moving guys around, guys have been in and out of the lineup, but there hasn't been one complaint, you know, amongst the group to each other. And certainly it's, you know, a business and guys' jobs are on the line, and you want everybody to be successful and have a long career, but at the same time there's a bigger goal and a bigger dream out there that, you know, collectively you need everybody to buy in and be a part of it. And so it's been great to see, obviously, handling adversity, guys in and out, guys struggling at times, but all just you know, with a main focus of being a part of the team, just wanting to be yeah. part of the group and do their part. That
that's
kind
a fun.
Of thing.
That's
yeah.
a fun part, right?
That's what, yeah, coming in like to piggyback off him. I didn't know what the team was going to be like on the ice, but I knew we were going to have one of the best room, best rooms off the ice. So, you know, sometimes it translates and sometimes it doesn't. But in our case, it certainly translated, and you have a tight group on the ice. I think. You know, as you know, that's really the only chance you have of winning, as long as everyone gets together and, it goes beyond just the players. Everyone's got to be pulling the same rope, like you said earlier. So,
that's Luke Shen. He and Ryan McDonough are our guests here on Smashville Live.
It was a rope.
We're bringing that back.
Pulling on the same. Yeah.
More cliches with Hal Gill coming up next here on Smashville Live. Luke and Ryan are going to take some pictures with fans. We'll come back, keep on talking hockey with the playoff-bound Predators veterans here on 102.5 The Game. Smashville Live is presented by Black Abbey Brewing and ESPN Bet. Final show of the season with Luke Shen and Ryan McDonough here on your radio home for Preds hockey, 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. Welcome back to Smashville Live here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. Your radio home for Preds hockey with three games left in the regular season. Tonight's show is presented by Black Abbey Brewing. We've got our Black Abbey beers up here. And ESPN Bet here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. My name is Max Herz with Hal Gill, Preds defenseman Luke Shen, and Ryan McDonough are with us here tonight in front of a great crowd for the final episode of the season here at Brewhouse 100 in Bellevue. I want to ask you guys about your families and your kids, and I saw at least one of them on the ice yesterday.
Three.
Before the game. Three? All three?
One
O'Reilly.
One O'Reilly, his
one
daughter,
McDonough and one
my
Shen.
Son as well, yeah.
That's
yeah.
awesome. Yeah. And they were at morning skate, too?
Well, so that was my other son, the three-year-old, and Ryan O'Reilly's son. They were in the same preschool class, so that was their year-end field trip, was coming to our morning skate, and they got to meet Nash after, and yeah, they did a little pizza party and stuff like that. So the highlight was obviously meeting Nash. So it was a busy day for the kids yesterday at the rink. It was pretty cool to come have them on the ice for the anthem and go by the bench and give all the boys a fist pound on the way out. So yeah, brought us a little luck yesterday, I guess, to get in.
So between the Shens, the McDonoughs, the Nyquists, and the O'Reillys, are they just all going to school together and hanging out?
They are.
It's a lot of overlap,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, there is. Yeah, we see each other in the pickup line all the time. Yeah.
It's a hookup line down here, but I know. It changes.
Is that a Southern term?
They call it hookup.
Oh.
I was kind of floored when they told me.
Heard that. No,
you got to go to hookup, and I'm like, that's not.
Maybe something. That's your school. What school are you at?
Ensworth does a hookup line.
Oh, okay.
Hal Gill Academy.
Well, I'm just telling you what I know. Yeah. But these kids, how fun is it to have, you go on a team, and obviously it's hard to integrate. You guys are all coming in and trying to figure out Nashville, and Ryan, you got a jump on it. But, how has it been settling in and getting in? Obviously, it makes it easier when you have all the kids the same age and they're all doing the same thing, going to the same school. You can they're just playing together, I assume, all the time, right?
Yeah, last year. Fallon, my oldest, was the oldest kid on the team. I think there was a four-year gap between anyone else's kids on the team. So Yosa's got a couple.
Closer to Evangelista.
Yeah, I know. So it's great getting the Shens in town here, and Kingston, his oldest boy, is in the same class now at the school together. And
They actually went to preschool together in Tampa,
yeah.
too.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, so yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. They've been pen pals for a couple years before we got back together again. So. Having kids, your own kids around other teammates' kids at the rink, and that whole experience just makes it that much more fulfilling when you're, leaving for road trips and whatnot. So they get into that age where they're starting to understand and follow along with the season and know what the playoffs are and what the Stanley Cup's about and all that. So we're not just leaving them just because we need to get away. We're going after the big trophy again. So it's fun when they understand that.
Yeah. Do you talk to the guys? McCarron, who do we got? McCarron's going to have expecting Forsberg.
Forsberg, yeah.
Tyson's got Barry's got another
Tyson's
one on the way.
Tyson's got another one on
Nyquist
the way.
Nyquist just had one.
Just had one.
Yeah.
You guys. Someone asked me to give advice. I have no advice. I throw it all out because I thought I knew what I was doing until I had a kid. Do you guys have any advice for those guys?
When we played in Philly with you, we were the young ones, and you were the one doing what we're doing now, coming home from practice and no such thing as kicking your feet up and trying to recover. You're chasing kids around, and I mean, I don't know how old your daughters and son were at the time, but pretty much the same stage as it were.
Yeah, so, Talon was just born, and so now he's 12. It's been a minute.
Yeah, but no, the advice is try to sleep on the road. Yeah. That's the difference now.
If I was Phil, I'd teach his boy how to stick handle like him so he could be a superstar, because we're teaching our kids how to block shots.
Yeah, we'll send them over to Phil.
They're all playing hockey? Are they playing hockey together?
Yeah, they did this year, yeah.
They all play, actually. So when we're in town, us are both – O'Reilly and Ryan here and myself, we all get on the ice and help the coaches and try to get in for practices. So, yeah, we're like I said, in the pickup line together at school. We're at the rink together. The younger boys, they do learn to play together over here in Bellevue. Yeah. So they're there as well. And then O'Reilly and ourselves, we got the kids in, baseball and like football together. So it's like
That's awesome.
We see a lot of each other. It's good, which is awesome, because to have someone else – you know, in the same boat as you, not only for us, but for the wives too. When we go on the road too, they're obviously around each other all the time doing similar things and similar schedules. So, it's been a lot of fun.
And then way back on opening night, Luke, you got hurt in the first game. Then for the home opener, Ryan, you took his kids with you for the gold walk. How special was that for both of you guys?
No, it's good. Yeah. Like I said, he's got his new kids here and they're trying to get into the swing of things and wearing a new jersey, Predators jersey. And obviously, they had a lot of pride in the Canucks jersey that they had the last couple years and the Leafs jersey for a little bit. So I try to get them up to speed with how Smashville works and whatnot. And they're great. Obviously, they're like a second family to us at this point in our lives. So it's good for me to step up there when Dad was hurt with the knee. And he took the job last night in the starting lineup at the Anthem. So we all kind of pick each other up at different moments, I guess.
Yeah. I think I had five people ask me, does Ryan McDonough have three sets of twins? I was like, no, I don't think so.
Yeah. Well, let's hope not. No.
I got to ask you, since we're talking about it, for me, my life changed as soon as I had kids, you know? Like, I played a few years in the league, and I felt like, everything you do goes towards hockey until you have a kid, and then you get home and you're like, whoa, there's a whole nother life here. Like, how much, I know other than sleep on the road but like, it always put it in perspective. You know, you lose a game and you think the world is ending, and you get home and there's a little kid that's just like, I don't care, you're my dad, and this is great. How much did that affect you and change you throughout your career?
It does, yeah. It gives you perspective for sure, and you know, you sink your whole life into this game and give everything to make it to the pro level and go on these long playoff runs and hopefully win a Stanley Cup, and fortunately for us, we've been able to win that and accomplish that dream, and not that we're taking our foot off the gas by any means.
Makes you want it more.
Yeah, it does. You want to share that experience again with them and prove to them the work ethic, all the values that you get out of playing sports and stuff can make a difference for them. But no, for sure, coming home after a tough loss and just seeing them, their excitement, and trying to ask how their day went, and like I said, just teach some life lessons out of the great game of hockey too.
I come home though, after a tough loss, my boys give me the gears now. Oh yeah, like
they give it to you.
Oh yeah, all the time. How come you didn't score again? What's the other night? How come Jameson's dad scored and you didn't?
Like, yeah. Well, when you gave the other team a penalty shot this year.
Oh yeah, when I gave a penalty shot. Are you kidding me, Dad? You give up a penalty shot. What are you doing? Oh yeah, and then how come you can't score? Well, you never hit the net. Like all that sort of stuff. So yeah, my boys give it to me at home, and they're pretty serious about it. So. Yeah, I'm scared to show him the highlights the next day to see what's going on.
Just wait till your son looks at your old footage from now, and he's looking at it. It wasn't in HD when I won the cup, but they're showing it, and he's going, God, Dad, you're old.
Yeah.
Look at the goalie's equipment. It's so bad.
Yeah.
Different game. All right, I got to ask this. Any advice you would give your younger self? Say your rookie – you know, first 5 years in the NHL, and you guys, would you go back, and how would you tell yourself to handle yourself, if that makes sense?
Oh, that's a hell of a question.
Is there anything you did that you look back and go, God, I wish I just did this or did something different? I mean, you can't do it. It's a theoretical.
I know. I think, like, sometimes you stress too much about what other people are thinking sometimes, or like what the coach is thinking, or, you know, what outside noise is. So I think, like, you know, being younger for me, starting out in a crazy hockey market like Toronto, I got caught up, you know, just human nature and I was in one. Yeah. And then
I remember Luke Shen.
And then you were
a big star in Toronto. They loved you.
Yeah, but just everything along the way, I think, like, just soak it up. I mean, one of the cooler experiences, too, for myself, like, I got the chance to play with my brother in Philadelphia, and not that we took it for granted, we appreciate every bit of it, but looking back, like, how special that was, and then...
That was close to the Hanson brothers, too. You guys were beauties.
Yeah.
That's still one of my favorite things, is watching you guys interact together, just... Busting each other's chops, but then you go out and fight for each other.
No, but I think just that, you know, obviously how we all talk about it, and you hear the older guys talk about it when you're a young guy, and, you know, how quickly it goes by, and you're like, what's this guy talking about? I mean, man, I'm 22 years old. Like, I'm going to play for a long time here. And next thing you know, you're like, man, us and Nyquist are the oldest guys on the team right now.
Yeah.
You don't feel that old, but, you know, it's a young guy's game, so just – soak it all in, which I think, you know, we do, but if you can embrace it throughout the way, it's, you know, just, we're very lucky to be doing what we're doing.
Any advice you'd give your young Ryan?
Well, I can't
living
say,
in New York,
I can't say
just
the same
living
thing.
The dream?
I can't say the same record that Luke has as far as being on the road and always going out for dinner. I had a couple of room services in my life, but this guy over here has never had room service in his life.
No, really. If you're going to have room service, you better be sick.
Yeah, I've had a couple
fought through everything.
Chicken soup.
COVID, flus, everything. I'm getting out with the boys.
Yeah. These,
you're never going to miss a muck, right?
Never.
These NHL cities got too good of restaurants to ignore, so I would make sure I'd go to all the hot spots when I was younger.
It's good advice.
It is good advice. I tell everyone is, you know, check your bags and you get out. It's,
you made a company out of it.
It's a quick journey.
All right, the bag chuckers have spoken. We'll take another break. Let Ryan McDonough and Luke Shen sign some more autographs here at Brewhouse 100 in Bellevue here tonight for our final Smashville live show of the season, presented by Black Abbey Brewing and ESPN Bet here on your radio home for Preds hockey, 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. Welcome back to Smashville Live here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game, your radio home for Preds hockey. Final Smashville Live show of the season presented by Black Abbey Brewing and ESPN Bet. Brendan and Carl have just replenished us with some more Black Abbey beers here at Brewhouse 100 here on Highway 100 in Bellevue for the final show of the season. My name is Max Erz, along with Predators commentator and Stanley Cup champion Hal Gill, and our two guests, also Stanley Cup champion defenseman Luke Shen and Ryan McDonough with us tonight. Just finishing up their autographs and their pictures.
The real star here is Black Abbey. Thank you for all you do. We really appreciate you.
It's been a great year. How many shows? 8? You were only on half of them.
I think there's 10 shows throughout the year.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I did half of them.
I think on the half of the shows you did, 90% of the Black Abbey was consumed.
Yeah, well.
Jay's not a beer drinker. It's not his fault. We don't hold it against him.
That's right. He'll drink enough bourbon to kill a mule. So.
Seriously. Good prairie boy, Jay Moore.
Jay Moore is our counterpart. He's old school. He gets after the bourbons. All right, okay. There's been a lot of talk about culture. And, you know, like, everyone asks me, how do you create the culture? How do you do that? Barry Trotz obviously came in and signs guys like you and both of you that are culture guys, locker room guys. So what does that mean to you guys when you hear, hey, this is how you build a culture? Because you guys are obviously good at it. You built a culture here. But what does that mean? And, like, what are locker room guys? So start off with culture, and then I want to know what you think a good – locker room is all about.
I would say first thing would have to be kind of like your work ethic, taking care of yourself, you know, being a pro that way, especially as a veteran, you know, you stick around this game long enough, you've got to be doing something right as far as keeping your skills up, practicing hard, you know, trying to stay at the top of your game, taking care of your body. I mean, all the bumps and bruises, just trying to have good habits that way. And obviously, you know, it's not something you really speak about, but it's just, you know, guys are watching, guys are picking up on the fact that, you know, someone's out there on the ice earlier, we're in the gym a lot, taking care of yourself. I think that's got to be, you know, a staple as far as your work ethic, you know, especially in practice and trying to do the little things to get your skills at the top of their game. And from there, it's I think, probably looking for moments to bring the team together, bring guys together, make everybody kind of feel valued, I think, is the biggest thing. Everybody's got to have a feeling that they're wanted in the room, they're needed in the room, they're wanted, you know, not only for their hockey skills, but for their character and their personality, everything that they can bring. But just letting guys know that that they care for one another. We care for everybody, and we got each other's backs, and we care for, you know, your wife, your girlfriend, whoever it may be, your family, and make sure everybody's comfortable. And as you know, if you're not comfortable away from the rink, it's going to be hard to go to the rink and do your job too. So all those little things kind of adding up as far as, like I said, making a team feel like we're all together and we're all in this, you know, together, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think the successful organizations, it's like cultures, it's a hard thing to create. I think it's even harder to keep for like a long sustained period of time, and it's I think it's easy to lose. So I mean, it's kind of like these layers where you got to continuously day in and do the right things in order to keep, you know, a strong culture. And as soon as you kind of let your foot off the gas and get complacent and get comfortable, and is when things are going to go south in the wrong way. And I think, like you said, part of it too is, you know, being accountable and not being afraid to kind of give your teammate shit a little bit, which hopefully they give it back. And also at the same time, being able to joke around with the guys and trip the guys and expect it back, and just kind of, like you said, feel like you're coming to the rink, being around each other each and every day while putting in the work, and not just going there and, you know, going through the motions because it's, you know, essentially your job or whatever, but actually go in there each and every day for the betterment of the team while working on your own game, working on, you know, getting better off the ice, on the ice, working on your, part of it too is, you know, mental coaching, whatever it is too. There's always different ways too, and just dragging your buddies through the fight throughout the course of the season and vice versa. So yeah, I mean, like I said, I don't know what it was like here last year. I mean, we've been on good teams where the culture has been good. You pick up certain things. You'd like to recreate it, you know, the good teams you've been on, but every team's different and characters are different, guys are different. So you got to try to bring and lean on the experience you had in the past to try to bring it forward each and every year.
Yeah, I remember, I'm going to go way back when I was playing with Billy Guerin. He was a
legend.
Guy, a legend, just a beauty.
Yeah.
But I remember he'd tear me a strip in the middle of a game, and like as soon as the game was over, he's like, "We're going for beers. We're going out, you and me."
Yeah.
We're going to bury this, and he'd scream and yell at me, and we'd get in each other's face and yell, and then we'd go and sort it out with beers, and if we had to fight it out at a bar, we'd do that. Did you guys have someone that you looked at when you were younger that kind of, you said, "Whoa, this guy is in my face." Accountability at its peak. Did you have someone?
Yeah, I mean, Ryan Callahan was one of those guys that could speak up and was a captain, my captain in New York for a few years, and just relentless player, you know, to put it that way, the way the Preds are playing, just fearless blocking shots and put his body on the line through stuff. But he was just great about walking that line of speaking up and getting in your face. And, you know, he's a forward, expects a lot out of us defensemen and expects a lot out of his line mates and stuff. But you knew he was bringing it 120% every night, so he could back it up with his play and stuff. So I think he was a guy that taught me a lot about, you know, being vocal and bringing it on the ice along with what you pack in your words.
Yeah, I played against him, and it's he's a pest.
Yeah.
Always there.
Yeah.
Yeah, this one guy I played with in Philadelphia, his name is Hal Gill. He was, man, oh, man, this is a guy you look up to each and every day, just putting the work.
Played six games.
Bag skates every day after practice.
One playoff game, too. Seven.
Yeah.
One round up. We'll round up.
Yeah.
And that finished me.
But no, yeah, I mean, obviously there's lots of guys throughout your career. I can't pick one besides yourself. You're the one guy.
No, I like
my favorite teammate.
I love what you guys said. Like a lot of people don't realize that, that's why I asked the question, is because culture doesn't just happen. It's the day-to-day. It's the everything. And Pecorine was, like, a consummate professional. Just, like, he'd be as fun as anyone at the bar. Then the next day, he was early on, and he was working. And I think Juice saw that, and Juice how fun is Juice to watch now?
It's unbelievable.
Like, it's got to be fun to play D in front of him.
He's such a pro, too. Like, I mean, the amount of hours he spends at the rink just, like, stretching and, like, doing his bike rides after practice and, like, fiddling around with his gear, which that's just like a goalie thing. Yeah. I don't get it.
They geek out on that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't get it. But no, he is the ultimate pro. And actually, same way, I mean, like we played in Tampa with Vasilevsky when we won those cups there, and he was the best goalie in the world. And just like the amount of hours he'd put in the stretching and just like his mental focus. I mean, so there's guys like that too. And I don't know.
Juice is so nice, though. He'd never tell me if I screwed up. That's the best part about Juice.
Those are the best goalies, right?
Puck goes in off my skate and comes back in the TV time. He's just smiling at you. It's like he's the best goalie to play in front of, for sure.
Luke Shen and Ryan McDonough are our guests here on Smashville Live. And we'll clap it up for these guys. You guys mentioned just all the success you've had. And, Ryan, I wanted to ask you, last year was your 13th NHL season, first time ever that you were on a team that missed the playoffs. How personal was it for you to get back there this year and keep it to your standard?
Yeah, it was huge. I mean, it wasn't a good feeling last year. And these guys can attest to it, too. You play 82 games. You go through training camp. It's a grind. And you want to have that chance to – you know, compete for the cup. I mean, this is why we do it. Obviously, it's our job. We get paid for it too. But you have dreams and of calling yourself a champion each and every year. That's the ultimate goal. And you know, even like I said, last year it was just such a crazy year with some of the trade deadline moves. And then we had young guys, we had injuries, and we were just clawing and scraping our way. We were so close. I think it hurt even more that we were so close to getting in and coming up just a little bit short.
And you broke your face like three times.
Broke my face, yeah.
Just blocking shots with your face, and doing anything.
It was, it was a grind last year. I mean, maybe it had been a different feeling had we, you know, had all these injuries and just fallen off the standings and had a lot of excuses. But we were just winning games and staying in the hunt down to the last two games there. So that definitely stung for sure. So this year, I mean, a lot of different moves were made, different guys coming in, and definitely felt like we had a group that, you know, could make something special out of this season. So it
is very
fulfilling.
We were talking about him last night, me and O'Reilly and Nikas, when we had met up after the game yesterday, but he's played like almost 200 playoff games.
No, it's crazy.
That's crazy. That's insane. Like,
and he's insulted by the fact that he wasn't in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, some guys never get the chance of doing it. Like, there's guys who play a long time that never get the chance, let alone win the cup, like get in the playoffs or play more than a couple games. So, yeah, it's a really hard thing to accomplish in your career and let alone sustain. So,
but you guys are both coming up on 1,000, too. Shenner, you would have hit
it this season.
Yeah, I mean, it's been, like I said, a long ride. It's lots of ups and downs. It's a roller coaster. If you say at the start of your career, like, oh, yeah, you'll get to 1,000 games, let's be like that, and you'll get there, don't worry. But it's been a roller coaster for me between, you know, being in the minors later on in my career to kind of running back and, you know, the lineup and just, yeah, it's been, I wouldn't trade it for anything though. You know, it's been a heck of a ride and met a lot of great people along the way and been in some mental grinds myself. And
I want to ask you about the mental grinds, like, I've been a healthy scratch and you're out and you're like, whoa, what is going on with my life? How do you deal with that? Like, and what do you tell the young guys that are dealing with it? Because, you know, Bruno's done that. He's like, hey, you're not playing tonight.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, no one likes being in the situation they're in. But, you know, it's for me, it's like, okay, come down to let's work on your game.
And yeah.
You know, I always say, like, you're never going to reinvent yourself as a player, but you can certainly evolve as the league evolves. And there's certain things, you know, you can pick up on from other guys watching their games or working with different coaches or skills coaches. So yeah, and then on top of that, you always gotta take it upon yourself to stay ready. You know what, that's the thing about the NHL, no one's gonna be babysitting you to make sure, hey, when you get back in the lineup, making sure you're in shape, making sure you're working on whether it's, you know, breaking out the puck as a defenseman or you're skating and gaps and doing all that sort of stuff, you got to take it upon yourself to kind of show up every day and put in the work and be prepared. And it's not easy at times, and sometimes you're driving home from the rink and you know you're the last guy at the rink because you just finished your extra workout and bag skate and everyone else is preparing for a game and you're really questioning, you know, am I still going to be able to make it through this? Or am I relevant? And I think that's when you also have a really good support system too around you, as you know, from your family, your, you know, your parents, your wife, your sibling, whoever it is, your whatever people got. But yeah, you got to have a good support system. No one goes through any of this on their own, and I think we're all fortunate to have had that, to have played as long as we have.
Yeah, it's funny you say that because I remember, how old are you, Ryan?
34.
I'm 15 years older than you, and I remember watching video of you blocking shots because I wanted to block shots like that.
Yeah.
Like that, I was, yeah. What, I remember you, and you're so good at turning your hips and taking away the weak side and then falling into the shot. And I'm like, I got to start falling into the shot the way you and Girardi were doing it. Like, I was like, I got to watch this. Yeah, so you're evolving your game all the way, and it's been impressive. Both of your careers are phenomenal. Can we clap for these guys? I know they're in the hunt right now. They want to win a cup, but it, like, both of what you guys have done has been pretty special for guys like me that look, you know, carrying the torch in the NHL. You guys have been pretty awesome with that. So thank you.
Well, thank you.
Appreciate that. Yeah.
No,
by the way,
just the beers talking.
Get this guy another.
We'll let Hal Gill drink some more Black Abbey beers, and Ryan McDonough and Luke Shen will take some pictures and sign some autographs for some fans here on Smashville Live here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game, presented by ESPN Bet and Black Abbey Brewing here at Brewhouse 100 here in Bellevue. Our final show of the season. We'll take some fan questions when we come back here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. Welcome back to Smashville Live here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. Sad to say, this is our final segment of the season. It's been a heck of a ride. We got a great crowd here at Brewhouse 100 in Bellevue tonight with Preds defenseman Luke Shen and Ryan McDonough here with us.
I can't tell you how excited I am that, like, you know, the beginning of the season, it's like, hey, we got to expect, like, hey, we're going through a little bit of a retooling here, and these guys have put out a great product. It's fun to watch.
Here we are on April 10th. Is it April 10th? April 11th?
Like, this team is fun to watch. Not just winning. I mean, like, it's a fun – can we talk about Bruno's
Absolutely.
System? Because the forwards have been talking about it, and the forwards have to change their game for Bruno's system. But what does it mean for you guys defensively?
I mean, it took me a little while to figure out, to be quite honest, because I've never played in a system like that. And especially coming back from injury at the start of the year, I was kind of in one for a little bit trying to figure it all out. But essentially,
well, he told me, he said, most guys it takes about 50 games to
kind of
get it to click.
Yeah.
When did we get hot? Right around there?
Exactly. He said that early in the season, too.
Yeah. It's just like, yeah, obviously there's a ton of skating involved and just sort of constantly being on the puck. But as a defenseman, the nice thing is you kind of go back and there's a lot of automatics as far as, you know, what to do with the puck. You're not really guessing or reading plays, essentially. It's going out there and you expect the forwards to be in a certain situation. You put it there and it's on them to get it out or get it in. And, you know, obviously we still got a lot of other teams are playing you certain ways. So there's some certain things to pick up on, but going back for a puck, I mean, you know, and you expect where guys to be, where it's a lot of teams, it's a little more read and reacting, I think. So
you're not playing shinny out there. I was the worst shinny player of all time.
Yeah. Which also, am, too, like, so. Yeah, in the D zone, too. Some teams play like man on man, and we kind of play a certain way in the D zone where you're more, you know, just taking care of sort of where you're supposed to be on the ice. Like, as a defenseman, we're not, some teams are man on man. You got the defenseman up by the blue line, which.
Fish out of water.
Totally lost up there. I have no reason to be up there where, yeah, we kind of play. I really like the way we play. I mean,
it's aggressive. I mean, there's enough randomness to, you know, our forwards game, our forecheck, that it's hard to play against. And you ask, I mean, we talk to guys after every game. We talked to guys after the Winnipeg game last night. And they hate playing us, right?
Yeah.
Nobody wants to play us. And that's the best compliment, right, you could ever have from from anybody that you're playing against. So there's enough. There's structure to our game for sure. Like you talked about, us defensemen going back, we know where we can put pucks. We can put pucks to areas. Our forwards are going to be skating there. It's a demanding style for sure. If we're behind a step, you know, we look terrible. And if one guy in your line is not up to speed, it throws the whole thing off, right? So it's very demanding in that way. We've learned that we need everybody, all five guys on the ice, be playing at the same pace for us to be effective. But we've seen the results from it. So like you said, you're willing to put in the work. Bruno talks about it all the time. You can have fun with it and play with the puck and be creative that way.
Yeah, I think Bruno has been demanding, but at the same time, he's given goalie hugs. I don't know do you guys see that all the time? Apparently he does. We just saw a video of
what does he
of
do?
Bruno
that
giving,
was the first time I saw it.
Giving Juice a hug.
Yeah, yeah.
Breaking his spine, basically.
I never got a hug from a coach. I mean, I guess that says something about my game.
That was just
like,
you.
But. It's just me. But, like, have you guys ever gotten hugs from a coach? And like, have you seen the Bruno?
Yeah, he's right there in the hallway. He's giving high fives to everybody.
He gets fist bumps after you come in there.
He's a competitor, too, right? Yeah. Bruno, like, he... I mean,
you can see it definitely comes out of him during the games and it gets
emotion,
gets fiery out there at times.
Wouldn't want to be a ref when he's behind the bench. Yeah.
He's on them a lot, that's for sure, no doubt, man.
Which most coaches are, to be fair.
Yeah, no,
yeah most are. Coaches in NHL, those poor guys. But, he's got lots of fire emotion, and in the intermissions, too, he's good at sometimes, calming things down or knowing when to give you a kick in the butt or, knowing that, like, for instance, like, we're down 3-1 yesterday, but, hey, we're playing great. Let's stick with it. Stick with the process. Like, we're doing good things. And, there's some good thought usually behind, what he's telling us, which is, as a player, you want to have that belief. So I think we all got that buy-in, that belief right now. And credit to him. I mean, it's not easy to come in, as a first-time head coach pretty much. And obviously we don't know him and no one's had experience with him. So I think it took a little while for us to all figure one another out. But now that it's starting to click, we all kind of see how it works when we do it correctly.
It's fun to watch. I'd say that.
Yeah, absolutely. We've got time for at least one fan question. Who you got, Jordan?
Ryan O'Reilly.
Ryan Mount Juliet. Luke, I have a question for you. What made you choose Nashville? Like, and what made you want to come here, leaving Toronto and the other teams you play for? And Ryan, how excited were you when you heard Luke was coming to Nashville?
He was one of the main reasons I ended up coming here, to be totally honest.
I thought it was me.
Yeah, well, I heard they had a great broadcast radio team, so that was it. No, but, obviously, last year leaving Toronto was a place I absolutely loved and, had an opportunity to go back there and a couple other spots. But Nashville is, first of all, coming here on the road, I always really enjoyed it. Coming here for years and just seeing how passionate the fan base is. The building's always loud. I always remember how crazy it is coming here as a visiting team and what a tough environment it is to play in. So
seeing the honky-tongs.
Yeah, exactly, how Broadway's evolved. But
it's a little different visiting as opposed to living, isn't it?
No,
No, we never go down there, especially with the kids and stuff like that. But anyways, on top of that, too, just kind of I played for Barry Trotz probably 2009 when he was coaching with Team Canada in the World Championships and gotten to know him a little bit over the years and good buddies with Shea Weber, back from junior hockey, and we live close to one. We used to live together in junior hockey for a little bit, and him and I know Jordan Tutu and Cody Franson and a bunch of guys, Scott Hartnell, guys who played Nashville and absolutely loved it and know Trotzy and kind of what he was trying to create here as far as, the direction the organization was heading and the culture he's trying to create. And then on top of that, he was here. Tyson Berry was a good buddy. I didn't know for sure, but, I played with Ryan O'Reilly last year in Toronto and, those conversations of him coming here. So just kind of the guys they were bringing together and obviously had a chance to come here and be a part of things. And obviously when you have a chance and they believe in you to come help, turn things in the right direction, you want to be a part of that. And I think, there's been obviously some ups and downs trying to figure out, how you fit in, but it's starting to kind of find stride, and I'm couldn't be more proud to be in Nashville, and it's a heck of a place to play. It's a great city, it's a great fan base, and getting the chance to to get your foot in the door and play in the playoffs, it kind of, you know, gives you chills thinking about that, just how exciting that's going to be. So, yeah, pumped to be here, and great. Like I said, I'm honored to play in front of this fan base.
Should we end on that note? What a great note to end on.
Well, Ryan didn't get to say how excited he was.
How excited were you that Luke Shen is here?
I was just going to pump his tires for about 30 more minutes. We got 30 more minutes
here? We got time. Go ahead.
No, I mean, he. When I heard he was coming here, you play long enough in this league, you get the book on guys. And fortunately, I played with him, so I knew him very closely. And anytime you hear of a player getting traded to you or you're a free agent, you kind of think, oh, well, what kind of guy is he, you know? And first of all, he's a winner. I won with him. So I know that he knows what it takes to get it done, which is an awesome thing, because anytime you can add a Stanley Cup champion to your roster is a huge thing. And a competitive guy, and I know he takes care of himself. And you talk about being a culture character guy. This guy has it all as far as knowing what it takes to bring a team together, and it's no coincidence as far as the additions that Trotsky's made this summer with Nyquist, O'Reilly, and even at the deadline here with Beauvillier and Zucker. I mean, these are guys that have been around the league, been on teams that have gone on deep playoff runs, been a part of successful teams, and it's just all the pieces coming together here for, you know, hopefully something special in the playoffs. But, no, I was psyched. And I think the biggest fan of the acquisition was my 7-year-old daughter, like we talked about. So she was happy to have her best friend back in the same town as her. So it was a great day.
Amen to that. Let's clap it up, everybody. Final show of the year. Luke Shen and Ryan McDonough. Do we have more pictures and autographs, or are we done? I don't even know.
I think these guys.
We're all done.
I'm excited. I'm excited about it. After listening to these guys talk for, an hour, I'm excited about this. This is going to be fun.
Playoff bound.
The boys
friends,
are having
everybody.
Fun. Yeah, they're going to plead for you. Smashville is going to be loud. It's going to be awesome.
Thanks for having us. Appreciate it.
Thanks, cheers. Fellas. Appreciate it.
Ryan McDonough and Luke Shen, our guests tonight here on the final show of Smashville Live this season. We'll see everybody Saturday night and then in the playoffs at Bridgestone Arena. Some big thank yous for the whole season of Smashville Live. First off, our hosts from Brewhouse 100 and Brewhouse South, Cliff McCardle, Gina Berg, Jordan Schneider running the show from 102.5 for our marketing efforts. Sean Mark helping us in so many ways, including producing the shows. And our producers back at the station, Connor Newt, Ian Safar, Brandon Aldrich, our whole crew. Chase McCabe, The Suit, who will have Ice Cube on his radio show tomorrow. And lastly, as Hal Gill yelled, Carl from Black Abbey, Brendan from Blue Note, all our great sponsors who made it such a great time here on Smashville Live this year. Smashville Live presented by Black Abbey Brewing and ESPN Bet. For Hal Gill, Jay Moore, Luke Shen, Ryan McDonough, all the Preds, my name is Max Herz. Thanks so much for listening to Preds Hockey. Penalty Box Radio is next here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game.